Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Green Bay insider. He is a Packers beat reporter on the USA Today Network, Green Bay Nation co-host. He's on WFRV. Joining us now on Middays with Thunder, Ryan Wood in the house. Ryan, welcome in. How are you?
You know, I'm a bit lost. This is such a weird feeling to have week one immediately preceded by a Thursday night game. So just to give you a little lay of the land.
Yes.
Thursday night is a totally different schedule.
Right? Yes.
In everything
course.
That we do.
Right, because today is Tuesday, and usually Tuesday's the day off.
Tuesday's the day off for players. You don't see players in the building on Tuesday.
Mason Crosby calls it Human Tuesday because that's when he and his wife would be humans during the football season.
Yeah, that's the one day that you get to live your life, right? Yep. Except that on the Thursday game, you fit a whole week into Thursday because you're not doing it Monday. You just played a game.
Yep.
You're not doing it Wednesday. Tomorrow, so you know, is Saturday. Tomorrow's Saturday in football parlance.
Crazy.
So this Tuesday, I'm talking to you right now inside Lambeau Field where I would never be on a normal Tuesday. But here we are in another massive game coming up with the Washington Commanders coming to town Thursday night.
Well, and what I will share with you, Mr. Ryan Wood, is that Packers Nation and the fans couldn't be more excited to turn around from that fantastic game on Sunday and go right at it Thursday. Like, it's like, let's not take any time off. Let's jump right back into it. I have a feeling, like you said, the media who cover the game might not feel the way. I'm definitely guessing the players might not feel quite that exuberant about jumping into a game on Thursday night.
Well, I can tell you that there's no player in the NFL that enjoys Thursday night games on a short week. That is like, hey, you just had your body go through a car accident. How about you do it again in 4 days?
Yeah, right away.
They like
right
the
away.
Extra days.
Let's do it. I love it. Ryan Wood joining us here on Middays with Thunder. So the week is totally different. With everybody being off yesterday, you know, what is the feeling around Lambeau? What is the buzz following a game that can only be described on Sunday as pretty much a complete success from top to bottom with Micah Parsons, with the offense, with spreading the ball around. All the check boxes were pretty much checked on Sunday.
Well, you know, I think you just said the word, right? Buzz. There is palpable buzz and has been since Micah Parsons arrived in town. This isn't new.
Right.
But then you have that debut. And the Packers could not have choreographed a better introduction. They literally tried. I mean, Saturday night, Micah Parsons gets a call from Matt LaFleur. Hey, just so you know, the defense is going to get the announcement, starters out of the tunnel. You're going to be last. This is your moment. And right before that moment, Rashawn Gary turns to Micah Parsons and says, hey, just so you know, the ground, when they hear your name, it's going to shake under your feet because everyone is excited for you to be here. Make this your moment. And then he goes out there. And, I mean, could you have scripted any better? Three pressures in, 30 snaps? And each one was a game-changing pressure. I mean, the sack was the least impactful of his three pressures because the first one forced a three and out.
Yep.
A little two-yard loss on a dump-off to Jahmyr Gibbs. The second one is an interception, the biggest play of the game for Evan Williams, created by Micah Parsons, just completely blistering Penei Sewell. So there is absolute buzz. You know, we just said no one enjoys Thursday night games inside an NFL locker room. If there was ever a time when you just like might be itching just to get back on the field, it's after an opener like that.
No doubt about it. Ryan Wood here with us on The Fan. You mentioned that the sack was kind of the least impactful, but we talked about it yesterday. That sack looked like a video game sack, right? It looked like somebody hit the turbo button on Micah Parsons, and he just exploded at a speed that we're not used to seeing from our defensive linemen, from our edge rushers, as he caught up. I will say, I think Jared Goff probably should have thrown the ball away at some point before he got sacked. But it looked like that it was, again, video game level speed from Parsons on that sack.
Yeah, you can tell Jared Goff is used to playing Packers defensive fronts of old because he gets out of the pocket, close to the sideline, sees nobody, and he doesn't have that internal clock yet that is required when, oh yeah, the Packers now have Micah Parsons, and yep. He is coming for your soul, and that's what happened. That sack didn't look real, right? And right. It didn't look real because, one, how many times do you see a defensive player that with that size move like that and close that much ground? He closed ground like an elite corner. Yes. That got beat deep and needs to make up ground. That's the type of ground that Micah Parsons closed. But it also didn't look real because that's how you would have scripted Micah Parsons' first sack in a Packers uniform if this were a movie.
Right.
Like, you'd have the quarterback kind of flushing the pocket, running. You'd have all this space. You'd have the build-up, the anticipation as he's closing. And then finally he gets there, he wraps two arms around, the legs go flying in the air, and the quarterback goes down. Like, that was a movie script sack that he put on the field. So, yeah, it had to happen. It was Micah Parsons' debut. There needs to be a sack there, and he's hunting all game. He finally got one.
We've got a few questions going on Middays with Thunder today, and so I'm going to throw them at you and hear your thoughts on them. The first one is, you know, we follow our gambling odds from Potawatomi Sportsbook, and obviously the betting odds for who's going to win the NFC North changed pretty dramatically after this weekend. And so I'll ask you, have your expectations regarding the NFC North changed after the two games Sunday in Green Bay and last night in Chicago?
Not at all.
Okay.
Because, listen, I had the Packers before the Micah Parsons trade at 12-5 this season. I've been very bullish on the Packers. And
yes, sir.
Take Micah Parsons out of the equation. The Packers have maybe the most dangerous tandem that any team can have in this league. They have youth. They're still super, super young.
Right.
But they also have big game experience because all this youth has been in the playoffs the last 2 years. So they're not green. Like, don't just because they're young, don't mistake them as inexperienced. This is a very experienced team.
I like that.
That's
a great
line.
Young. Yep. That's a
great
observation.
I had them at 12-5. Micah Parsons comes 13-4. That's okay. What I had after the trade.
Yep.
I had them not only winning the NFC North, they are my Super Bowl champion pick. I
wow.
have them beating the Chiefs because, listen, I understand the Chiefs lost week one, but until the Chiefs get eliminated, I'm picking Patrick Mahomes. That's just the way it's going to be. So I've been bullish on this team, and then they go out, and if you subscribe to the theory as I do that the NFC has a triumvirate at the top, that the three best teams in this conference are the Eagles, the Packers, the Lions.
Yep.
And you just saw that butt kicking.
Yep.
That's not that the Lions lost.
No.
They were dominated on both sides. It was not close. And you see that. No, I didn't change my mind. I feel really good with how I was kind of seeing this team going in.
All right, well, let's keep our eyes on the NFC North. I don't know how much of the game you watched last night. I'm guessing at least parts of it. What did you learn about the Bears and Vikings last night? And is there anything there that is relevant to us as Packers fans or that we can take away knowing that we're not facing any of those teams till late November anyway?
Well, I think I tweeted after the opening drive for both teams last night, the law office of Parsons, Gary, and Van Ness are going to eat against both those offensive
nice.
Lines.
I love it.
I thought the Bears were supposed to fix their offensive line this offseason.
Yeah, they signed seven guys, right?
What did I miss here? Because you have a quarterback still. I thought Ben Johnson was supposed to keep Caleb Williams on schedule in the timing of the offense. Those were the two primary offseason storylines out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn on the game week one, and none of that happens. The offensive line is still bad, and Caleb Williams still doesn't know how to hit the back of his drop and let the ball go. And you saw it all night. He's just running around. He was able to make plays because Caleb Williams is very, very talented. He can extend, but you cannot live in this league off extending plays. It doesn't matter if you're Aaron Rodgers. Think about Aaron Rodgers at his best. You think of the play extensions, right? But when it became too much play extension, too frequently with Aaron Rodgers, he had to learn less is more.
Yes.
He had to actually play within the rhythm and the timing of an offense and then extend when things break down, and then that's where he was masterful. Caleb Williams tries to live on extended plays, and Ben Johnson, it's been only one game. Maybe as they get more familiar, this will change. But through one game, that didn't change. I thought J.J. McCarthy showed a hell of a lot of pluck. I mean, he sure showed a lot of fight. For him to come back from the pick six like that and lead not only a comeback win, but have those three touchdowns in crunch time, there's a lot for him to improve. I mean, there's a lot for him to work on.
Yep.
But that was impressive in your first start on the road to spoil Ben Johnson's debut. As far as how it relates to the Packers, big term, it doesn't. Those teams aren't in the same class as the Packers. They're not in the same class as the Lions either. The NFC North is the haves and have-nots. It's the Packers and the Lions is the haves, and it's the Bears and Vikings with the have-nots.
So I actually made the point earlier in the show that I think the pick six is the best thing that could have happened to J.J. McCarthy. I think if Minnesota ends up getting a field goal there, they're up 10-6, they go up 13-6, I think the rest of the game ends up being a slog. Like, I think, you know, and I'd really liked the under in that game. And before the pick six, I liked it. I was at Monday Night Raw, which was in Milwaukee last night. And I said to my daughter, a pick six always messes with an over-under. It always just messes with a game. But I think if that pick six doesn't happen, I think the game ends up being a slog. And, you know, again, we're kind of looking at the Vikings and the Bears as kind of two mid-teams. I think we still think they're two mid-teams, but I don't love that, like, a little something, a little spark of J.J. McCarthy showed up last night.
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, to your point on the pick six, it did like smack him in the face, kind of like smelling salt, right? It was like, oh he's awake now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw a totally different guy. I think the best thing maybe the Vikings had going for them last night was that they won a game in which there was a hell of a lot to improve on. Like, when Kevin O'Connell turns on that film, he's going to have plenty of teaching points for a young quarterback. And, oh, by the way, you still are 1-0. You still won. So that's the best thing. From the Bears' side, the Bears, not just this offseason, when the Bears came into Lambeau Field last year, at the end of the year, and the Packers let them off the ground, they dominated this team and this rivalry for so long to the point where it was no longer a rivalry. And you let them up for air going into the offseason. I thought, boy, that just gives them unnecessary momentum. And then they build on that with hiring Ben Johnson, and they're carrying momentum. And then you get a halftime lead in a first half that you are dominant. It's not perfect, but you're in complete control at home in this debut. And then you fall flat on your face like that in the fourth quarter. Is there anything more Chicago Bears than that?
No.
Like, that's the Chicago Bears as it gets.
100%. It really is. Ryan Wood joining us here on The Fan, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan, free on the Odyssey app. One of the other questions we're asking today is, does the presence of Micah Parsons take pressure off of Jordan Love?
I've said it since the trade. You know, I think pressure comes in two forms. There's the pressure of knowing your value to the team in the big picture. And, okay, this is a quarterback-driven league. And Jordan Love must know that for the Packers to get to the Super Bowl, he has to play at a high level. That's why they paid him $55 million a year. Because even with the Micah Parsons, even with a great defense, you can think of the teams that won Super Bowls on great defense off the top of your head like that, right? I mean, 85 Bears, 2000 sure. Ravens, 2015 Broncos. That's how rare it is that those type of teams win. Usually you have to have a quarterback playing at a very high level. Even Jalen Hurts last year with the Eagles did it in his own way. It's a quarterback league. So there's pressure there. But I do think that on the granular week-in, week-out, snap-in, snap-out basis, and I think you saw this against the Lions, Jordan Love knows that he doesn't have to do what Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre did before. It doesn't have to be all on you to make a play every single time, or else all else is going to fail. But Jordan Love can punt it, allow a punt back to that defense. He can pin them deep, and Micah Parsons is going to get two blockers, and Colby Wooden is going to get a tackle for loss on David Montgomery at the one-yard line. Like those type of things he can rely on. He's got Josh Jacobs behind him. He's got an offensive line that didn't let him get touched legally all day. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson had the rough in the past, but outside of that, didn't happen. So, you know, he knows that it's not all on him, and when you're able to do that as a quarterback, you can just take what's there. That's what you saw Jordan Love do, and he looked like a very comfortable quarterback to me, and that's what every team in this league wants, is their quarterback to be comfortable.
Well, talking about quarterbacks, the Packers facing one who's a little bit more mobile Thursday night than what we saw with Jared Goff on Sunday. Last night, we saw Caleb Williams run pretty effectively. J.J. McCarthy, of course, with the big run at the end. What does this team, how does this team match up? What does this team need to do with Jaden Daniels on Thursday night to make sure he, you know, do you contain him? Is he going to get a couple, but you don't let him get too many? What's the game plan against a quarterback like Jaden Daniels?
Well, first of all, how much more fun would that Micah Parsons sack have been if it wasn't instead Jared Goff, it was Jaden Daniels that he was chasing? I mean, I feel like we were owed one of those track meet sprint outs between those two, because that just would be fun to watch Thursday night. The Packers, the one thing that this defensive front in terms of the passing game consistently did very well last year without Micah Parsons was contain rush. Like they gave up 14 rushing yards on 7 carries to Kyler Murray a week after he had 100 rushing yards. Like, they did not let mobile quarterbacks beat them last year. I expect that to be the same. They are going to contain rush Jaden Daniels. He had 900 rushing yards last year. You can't get lack of integrity in your rush lanes. But you do that, you contain rush, you win your matchups, which they have the guys to do that. That's when you can get after a Jaden Daniels, a mobile quarterback. And Jaden Daniels gives up plenty of sacks. He was sacked 3 times by the Giants last week. I mean, he gives up some sacks. He is still a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think with the Commanders, he's got all the talent in the world, but what did Jordan Love and C.J. Stroud show you last year? The sophomore slump can be very real.
Absolutely.
You're a second-year starting quarterback. It is very, very challenging in this league because now every defensive coordinator has got all the film on you, and they are tailoring their game plan specifically to exploit your weaknesses. Jaden Daniels is going to have to go through that this year. He's on a short week on the road. You better believe Jeff Hafley is going to bring up some things to tailor against his weaknesses.
Ryan Wood joining us here on Middays with Thunder. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. You can, and he tweeted out yesterday, the Packers yesterday submitted an estimated practice report because, of course, there was no practice yesterday, and you retweeted that and shared that with people. Aaron Banks was estimated to not participate. Bo Melton, Brenton Cox, Jaden Reed, and Zach Tom. Is there concern about the offensive line? If guys do not participate on Monday, what do you expect to see today when there is practice? Where do you rank some of these injuries for the Packers?
Yeah, Zach Tom, Aaron Banks is going to be a concern. That's two starters in your offensive line. I think there's much less concern than if not for the other trade at the end of training camp. I didn't get the headlines of Micah Parsons, nor should it, but the Packers showed why they, Darren Kennard showed why the Packers sent a 6-round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles for him, because they knew, Brian Gutekunst knew he needed more depth on that offensive line. He knew that, look, all 5 starters last year had uncommon health. They all played over 1,000 snaps, and the chances of that repeating itself in this league this season are not high. You better build up the depth. It was what the entire offseason was about. He got to see Anthony Belton, the second-round rookie, through the preseason. He's not ready yet. So at the end of camp, he sends a 6-round pick for Darian Kennard to the Eagles. Darian Kennard comes in, and sure enough, that first week, Zach Tom has Jordan Love fling into him, injures his hip, and already there's injuries. Darian Kennard goes in to replace him at right tackle, and he played at a very high level. And I thought the biggest surprise is for the last year, Darian Kennard's been more of a guard. He is a natural right tackle. That's the way he played his whole life. And then he gets to the Eagles, they rep him more at right guard. You could tell he can play right tackle very well. So I think that the depth, that they feel good about it. With that said, you want Zach Tom and Aaron Banks on the field as many snaps as you can get.
Absolutely. Ryan Wood joining us here. He writes on the USA Today Network. You can follow him on Twitter @ByRyanWood. Is it too early to make a prediction for Thursday night? Are you in the prediction business? How does that work?
Well, I picked the Packers coming into the season to start 2-0. Okay. I thought they were going to have a hot start. Yep. And, I mean, like I said, nothing about what I saw Sunday against the Lions caused me to change my mind. I'm still riding Packers here.
Nice. Did I also hear, are you a New York Mets guy?
I am. It's one of the more unfortunate aspects of me.
That's fair, and I can appreciate that. Can you beat the Phillies a couple times this week, though? Could you just knock them down a little bit? The Brewers are up 4.5 on the Phillies. I think the Brewers are safe. But just to make us all feel a little bit better about our Brewers fandom, if your Mets could get a couple wins this week, that would be great.
You know, it would be nice if it was in New York, because the Phillies literally cannot beat the Mets in New York.
That's true. We've noticed that. Yep.
The Mets apparently can't hit in Philly, because that was pitiful last night. So I'd sure like that to happen. I think we're on the same page here. Yeah, let's go Mets.
Now, am I also aware that you're an Indiana Pacers guy? Is that true?
That is correct. You'll see there in my Twitter bio. Yeah, the cornfields of Indiana. Yeah, Pacers are big there. Nowhere else in the country, but in the cornfields of Indiana.
At least you come by it honestly. Born and raised, I assume, a Pacers fan.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on Reggie Miller, so
okay, yeah.
We didn't have much else to really rally around and get excited in those cornfields, but the Pacers gave us some thrills. If Michael Jordan or LeBron James weren't involved, they were usually a good time.
Have there been some decent war of words the past couple seasons with our local Bucks fans there?
Here's the thing that I want everyone that follows my Packers coverage to understand. I got on this beat in 2014. My son, my oldest son, was 2 years old when I started here. He is a Wisconsin kid.
Yeah.
He is a massive fan of every Wisconsin team.
Let's go.
I do not enjoy my teams beating yours. It causes great strife in my house.
Yep.
I don't enjoy it. It's not what I want. So it's, you know, what did the Packers say about the Micah Parsons, Kenny Clark trade? It's very bittersweet, right? Mm-hmm, that's how it is every time my team beats yours. It's not something I enjoy. I mean, at the end of the day, I want my teams to win
of course, I've rooted for my whole life. Yep.
But it's not like I take extra pleasure in knowing that it's beating the local team.
What NFL team did you grow up cheering for?
Colts. Yeah. Colts.
Okay. I'll tell you this, though.
The second that I got on the Packers beat, and I'm not a Packers fan either. I'm a fan of no NFL team, which also means that I hate no NFL team. Like, a lot of times people are like, okay, if you don't like him, you just hate him. No, I don't hate anyone. I don't root for anyone. It's a job that I very much enjoy.
Sure.
The second I got on the beat, it became a job. So I root for the story. Like, I want to be able to write a good story. That's really all. That's how I approach the game. It's a chance to be able to tell great stories.
How did the Mets fandom develop? How did that happen?
So New York is where my father grew up on Long Island, and there's no baseball team in Indiana.
Right.
As much as Chicago Cubs fans in Indiana want to believe that Chicago is across the border and not in Illinois,
Indiana,
it is in Illinois.
Indiana is a suburb of Chicago, right? I get
exactly. it. Exactly. Yep. Yeah, it's in a different state.
The pomposity of the Chicagoans.
Yes. So, I mean, grew up with a ton of Chicago Cubs fans in northern Indiana, but that's a different state. I took my dad's team.
Got it. All right. Well, that's legit. I get it. That makes sense. Ryan, I guess we're doing this every Tuesday, and if it goes like it did today, I'm excited for this season. I'm excited to visit with you every Tuesday or wherever the days end up, and enjoy this crazy, weird week. Hopefully it means like you actually get a weekend day off, maybe?
The good thing, I don't mind these short weeks because Monday there's no availability and tomorrow there's no availability. So I'm about to go in the Packers locker room right now. We'll have plenty of covers. Check out Packers news. But it's pretty light other than there's a long Tuesday and then game Thursday. And then you get the weekend at the end. I actually get to watch other teams this weekend. That's going to be enjoyable.
Nice. Well, enjoy it. Thanks so much for jumping on. We'll talk to you again next week and we'll hear you with Sparky. We'll hear you on the Mason Crosby show. Thanks for being part of the team, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, looking forward to it. Take care.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.